Welcome back, everybody. Ready for another deep dive?
Absolutely, let's do it.
All right, so today we're tackling subscription models.
Oh, yeah. The subscription economy, huh?
Yeah, it's everywhere these days. So we pulled together like a mountain of guides and analyses.
Some deep cuts, I hope.
Oh, definitely. We're looking at the usual suspects, you know, like Dollar Shave Club.
Of course, got that one.
Netflix. But then things get interesting.
Like what?
We're even diving into, get this, spa maintenance.
Whoa, spa maintenance subscriptions. Didn't see that coming.
Right. So we're going to try to figure out, like, what's driving this whole subscription boom.
For sure. And how it's changing things, both for businesses and, you know, for us as consumers.
Because, let's be honest, pretty much everyone's signed up for at least one subscription these days.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost impossible to avoid them, right?
Exactly. So what's so revolutionary about this model?
Well, I think one of the biggest shifts is, like, how businesses think about revenue.
Okay, how so?
It's like, instead of these, you know, one-off sales.
The ups and downs.
Yeah, that roller coaster of revenue. Mm-hmm. Businesses get this, like, steady stream of income.
Oh, like a predictable cash flow.
Exactly, predictable revenue.
Yeah.
And, you know, that makes a huge difference, especially when it comes to things like long-term planning.
Yeah, I bet that really helps with stability, like for the business as a whole.
Totally. It's almost like a financial safety net.
Yeah.
You know? And one of the best examples I saw in the research was Dollar Shave Club.
Ah, the OG subscription box.
Right. And they totally nailed that, like, predictable revenue model. But it goes even deeper than that.
Oh, yeah. How so?
Because they know, like, exactly how many blades to ship each month.
Oh, right. Consistent demand.
Yeah. And because of that, they've actually, like, cut their waste by something like
20%. 20%?
That's wild.
Yeah. It's millions of dollars saved. And it's obviously, like, better for the environment, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that predictability has a ripple effect.
Big time. So it helps the bottom line, but also it plays into, like, the whole customer retention thing, too, right? Oh, yeah, for sure. If you know what your customers need.
And when they need it.
Exactly. Then you can just keep them happy.
And coming back for more.
Yeah. Like Chewy.com, the pet supply company.
Ah, great example.
They have that auto ship program, so pet owners never run out of food or whatever.
Smart. So it just keeps sending you stuff.
Yeah. And their customer retention rate is, like, almost double the industry average, I think.
Wow, that's huge.
Right. So we've got predictable revenue, happy customers, less churn.
It's a beautiful cycle.
But what about the actual operations?
What do you mean?
Like the behind-the-scenes stuff of running a subscription business, because it seems like there'd have to be some unique challenges there, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But see, that's where, like, that predictable revenue stream really comes in handy.
Oh, how so?
It allows businesses to optimize everything.
Like more efficient.
Exactly. Imagine knowing, like, exactly how much inventory you'll need weeks or even months in advance.
So you can plan ahead.
Yes. Yeah, suddenly your supply chain management becomes like a well-oiled machine.
No more last-minute scrambles.
Exactly. And again, Dollar Shave Club, perfect example.
You're coming up a lot today.
Well, for good reason. They've streamlined their whole manufacturing process.
All thanks to subscriptions.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's a win-win-win.
For the business.
For the customer.
And the environment.
Exactly. It all ties together.
So we've got this, like, trifecta, right? Predictable revenue, strong customer retention, boost in operational efficiency.
That's a pretty solid foundation.
Yeah, but it seems like a lot of these, like, success stories we're talking about,
yeah,
they're digital-first companies.
Hmm. That's true.
So what about businesses that aren't already built for the online world?
Right, like brick-and-mortar places?
So how do they even, like, begin to tap into this subscription magic?
That's a great question. And actually, a lot of traditional businesses, they're turning to franchising as a way to kind of overcome.
Franchise.
Yeah, to overcome the logistical and, like, the tech hurdles.
Okay, I'm not following.
So, like, imagine a local bakery.
Yeah.
Right. And they want to offer a monthly bread subscription.
Sure.
But setting up, like, online ordering and payment processing and delivery logistics.
That sounds like a lot.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
But with a franchise model,
yeah,
they can tap into a system that's already set up.
Like someone else has already figured it out.
Exactly. Imagine a platform.
Okay.
Specifically designed for, you know, food-based subscriptions.
Okay. Interesting.
Complete with, like, an online storefront, a payment gateway, even a network of delivery drivers.
So they don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Exactly.
Smart.
And this is where the tech gets, like, really cool. We're talking, you know, point of sale systems that track subscriptions automatically.
Oh,
customer relationship management tools to like personalize the experience.
Makes sense.
And even like sophisticated inventory management software that can anticipate demand.
So it takes a lot of the guesswork out.
It does. A lot of the heavy lifting is already done.
So it's like taking all that complexity and just packaging it up.
Exactly. And it's not just about the tech. Franchise models often come with like established supply chains.
Oh, that makes sense.
And best practices that can like really help those businesses make that leap.
Into the subscription world.
Yeah, a lot smoother.
Okay, so franchising is one way to kind of bridge that gap.
Full cap.
With like between the physical and digital world.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
But I'm curious, have you come across any like surprising examples in your research?
Surprising examples?
Yeah, like industries that we wouldn't necessarily associate with subscriptions.
You know, when you think about it, almost any product or service can be offered on a subscription basis.
That's true, I guess.
One example that I thought was really interesting was spa maintenance.
Spa maintenance?
Yeah. It's a perfect illustration of how subscriptions can benefit, like, both businesses and consumers.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
So imagine this. You own a hot tub, but, like, who really enjoys cleaning it?
No one.
Remembering to buy the chemicals, keep track of, you know, maintenance schedules.
Yeah, that's a hassle.
It is. But a spa maintenance subscription, it takes care of all that for you.
Wow. So how does it work?
They, like, deliver the right cleaning supplies.
Oh, that's convenient.
Send reminders for, like, filter changes, and they even schedule, like, professional cleanings when needed.
So you don't have to think about it at all.
Pretty much. You just get to relax and enjoy your spa.
That sounds amazing. Like a subscription to peace of mind.
Exactly. And from the business side, it's brilliant. They get that predictable revenue.
Of course.
They build strong customer relationships.
Yeah, keeps people coming back.
And they can optimize their operations because they know exactly what their customers need and when they need it.
So it's win-win for everyone involved.
Totally. A real win-win.
And it makes me wonder, is there anything that can't be turned into a subscription?
That's a great question. It seems like the possibilities are pretty limitless.
Right.
But I think before we get like too carried away.
Yeah.
It's important to talk about what makes a successful subscription model.
Okay, because not everything translates seamlessly into this format, right?
Exactly. Some things work better than others.
All right, so let's dive into that. What are some of the like key ingredients for making subscriptions work?
You know, the first thing that comes to mind is clear communication.
Oh, like explaining the value proposition.
Exactly. You have to educate your customers about, you know, what they're getting.
So it's not enough to just like slap a subscribe button on your website and call it a day?
No, not at all.
No.
You can't assume people understand the benefits.
Especially if it's something like new or unexpected.
Right. You need to spell it out, highlight the convenience, the cost savings, the exclusive perks.
Whatever it might be.
Yeah, make it crystal clear.
And I guess the sign-up process has to be super easy too, right?
Oh, absolutely. No one wants to spend 20 minutes filling out forms.
Just to get a box of razors or something.
It has to feel effortless.
But once you've got those customers on board, it's not a set it and forget it situation, is it?
Not at all. This is where, like, data becomes your best friend.
Data.
Yeah. You need to be constantly gathering feedback.
Whoa.
Analyzing usage patterns.
Gotcha.
Figuring out what's working and what's not.
So you're basically saying you got to be responsive.
Exactly. You got to adapt to your customers' needs.
And luckily, we've got all this data at our fingertips.
Right. And you can use it to personalize the experience, identify potential, like, upselling opportunities.
Upselling.
Yeah. Yeah. And even spot, like, warning signs of churn before it happens.
Churn being the dreaded word for subscription businesses.
Yeah. It's the enemy.
That's when customers cancel their subscriptions.
And if you're not careful, it can, like, eat away at your profits.
Before you can even blink.
Basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, got to keep an eye on that churn.
So how do you combat churn? Is it just about keeping customers happy?
Well, it's a big part of it for sure.
Yeah.
But it goes beyond just like satisfaction, I think.
Oh.
You need to create a sense of engagement.
Engagement.
Yeah, like a feeling that your subscription is adding real value.
Hmm.
Think about like Netflix. They don't just throw a bunch of movies and TV shows at you, right?
No.
They have that recommendation algorithm.
Yeah, the one that's always watching.
It's constantly learning your tastes.
So they can suggest stuff you'll actually like.
Exactly, and that keeps you hooked.
It works.
And it makes the subscription feel, like, more personalized.
Tailored just for you.
Yeah, exactly. Personalization is key in the subscription world, I think.
Makes sense.
It's about making the customer feel like they're you know, more than just a transaction.
Like a valued member.
Yeah, like they're a part of a community. They're getting a curated experience. They're being listened to.
Right. That reminds me of those like meal kit delivery services.
Oh, yeah. Great example.
They often have like online forums where subscribers can connect and share recipes.
Oh, yeah. They build a community around food.
Exactly. It's not just about the food. It's about the experience.
Yeah, the whole package.
And that kind of engagement, I guess, translates into loyalty.
It does.
Which ultimately helps reduce that churn.
It's all connected.
So it's like building a tribe around your subscription.
Exactly. And, you know, that brings us to another crucial aspect of, like, subscription success.
What's that?
Scalability.
Scalability. Okay. Break that down for me.
Think about it. If you're doing everything right, your subscription business is going to grow right.
Hopefully.
But if your systems can't handle that growth,
uh-oh,
you're going to run into problems.
So you need to make sure your infrastructure can keep up with demand.
Exactly. Your tech, your supply chains, your customer service.
The whole shebang.
Everything needs to be able to scale, like, smoothly.
As your business grows.
Yeah, otherwise that initial success can quickly turn into a logistical nightmare.
You don't want to be a victim of your own success.
Exactly. And this is where a lot of businesses, like, stumble.
They get too big too fast.
Yeah, they get caught up in, like, the excitement of rapid growth.
Sure.
But they haven't laid the foundation for, like, sustainable scalability.
So it's about planning for the future.
Exactly.
Anticipating those growing pains.
And building systems that can, like, flex as your business expands.
So scalability is about creating a business that's, like, built for growth.
And that's a key differentiator between businesses that, like, thrive in this world and those that struggle.
Okay, so we've talked about clear communication, data, scalability. Are there any other best practices that stand out to you from your research?
You know, one thing I found really interesting was this idea of using a freemium model.
Freemium?
Yeah, to get people hooked.
Oh, you mean like offering a basic version of your service for free?
Yeah.
And then charging for like premium features.
Exactly.
It's a pretty common strategy, right?
It is. And it's a great way to like lower the barrier to entry.
So people can try before they buy.
Basically, and let them experience the value without having to commit upfront.
It's like a taste tester for the subscription world.
I like that.
Mm.
And you'd be surprised how many like successful businesses use this.
Mm.
Think about Spotify.
Yeah.
You can listen for free with ads.
Right.
Or you pay monthly for ad-free listening.
And other perks.
Exactly.
It's a brilliant way to like build a huge user base.
And then convert some of those free users into paying subscribers.
Yeah, because they're already hooked.
Right. And it goes back to that idea of customer education, right?
Oh, yeah.
By offering a freemium option, you're giving people a risk-free way to try it out.
I get it. So freemium is one tactic. Any others?
Well, another interesting approach is like bundling.
Bundling.
Yeah. It's basically the idea of like packaging multiple products or services together.
Okay.
Into a single subscription.
Oh, like the classic cable TV bundle.
Exactly. But bundling has evolved way beyond that.
Oh, for sure.
Think about like Amazon Prime.
Yeah, okay.
You get free shipping, streaming content, music, ebooks.
All for one monthly fee.
Right. It's almost like a subscription to a lifestyle at this point.
And it makes sense from a consumer perspective.
How so?
It feels like you're getting more bang for your buck.
Right. And from a business standpoint, bundling can be a powerful way to, like, increase customer lifetime value.
Customer lifetime value being that, like, holy grail of subscription metrics, right?
Exactly. It's all about maximizing the revenue you generate from each customer over the long term.
So, to recap, we've got clear communication, data-driven optimization, scalability, freemium models, bundling.
There's a lot to juggle.
Yeah, but these are all essential ingredients for subscription success.
That's what we're learning.
But I'm curious, with all these strategies and tactics, are there any like potential downsides to this whole subscription craze?
Downsides?
Yeah. Are there any risks or challenges that we should be aware of? I mean, it seems like subscriptions are everywhere these days.
They really are. It's kind of hard to escape them. Yeah, it's kind of hard to escape them. I mean, some people are even talking about, like, subscription fatigue.
Subscription fatigue. Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's definitely a thing.
What does that even mean?
You know, it's that feeling of being, like, overwhelmed by all the subscriptions you're juggling.
Oh, yeah.
You've got your streaming services, your meal kits, your software subscriptions, your online fitness classes.
Ugh. It's a lot.
It's like you're bleeding money every month.
And you don't even realize it.
Exactly.
Oh, I've totally been there.
Yeah.
Like, I sign up for a free trial, and then I totally forget to cancel.
Oh, yeah, classics.
And then, bam, they've got my credit card.
Happens to the best of us.
It's so easy to fall into that trap.
Well, Behavioral economists call this the inertia effect.
The inertia effect.
Yeah. We tend to stick with the status quo, even if it's not really, like, serving us anymore.
So it's kind of like we're on autopilot.
Pretty much. And, subscription companies, they know this.
Oh, of course they do.
They make it super easy to sign up.
Right.
And then, they make it a little bit of a hassle to cancel.
Yeah, I gotta jump through hoops sometime.
Exactly. So it's like, subscriptions, they offer convenience.
And they can be a great value.
Totally.
But you also have to be careful.
Yeah, you can end up spending way more than you intended.
If you're not paying attention.
Exactly. So it's all about being like a conscious consumer.
Yeah, you got to stay on top of it.
Right. Take stock of your subscriptions regularly,
Do an audit.
Yeah, like, are you actually using them? Are they still providing value?
Don't be afraid to cancel.
If someone's not serving you anymore, get rid of it.
It's like decluttering, but for your digital life.
Exactly. A digital detox.
And speaking of digital life, what about data privacy?
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
It seems like a lot of these subscription services, they're collecting a ton of information about us.
They are. And it's definitely something to be aware of.
Like, is this something we should be concerned about?
I mean, data privacy is a huge issue in the subscription world. No doubt about it.
What kind of data are we talking about?
Well, these companies are collecting data on our purchasing habits.
Okay. That makes sense.
Our preferences, even our physical locations in some cases.
It's a little creepy when you think about it.
It can be. And it raises some, ethical questions for sure.
So what can we do about it?
I think it's crucial for consumers to be aware of, how their data is being used.
Okay, so do your research?
Yeah. Read the fine print, understand the terms of service.
Right.
And, try to choose subscriptions from companies that you trust.
That you trust to handle your data responsibly.
Exactly. So transparency and trust are key.
And I think we're going to see more and more emphasis on data privacy.
Yeah, I agree.
As the subscription model keeps evolving.
It's like a whole new frontier of, consumer rights.
Exactly. So we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
We've talked about the benefits.
The challenges.
The strategies. Even the potential downsides of subscriptions.
It's a complex landscape.
But before we wrap things up, I want to leave our listeners with a, thought-provoking question.
Okay. I like those.
Hit me. Okay, I like this. Hit me.
All right, so we've seen subscriptions applied to so many different areas of life.
Oh, for sure.
From entertainment to pet food to even spa maintenance.
What about you?
What aspect of your life would you like to see become a subscription service?
Oh, that's a good one.
What problem would you love to have solved through, a convenient, personalized, and hopefully affordable subscription?
Oh, man, that's tough. I'll have to think about that one. How about you?
Yeah, well, as much as I love the convenience of grocery delivery, I still spend way too much time meal planning.
Meal plan.
Yeah, and trying to come up with creative recipes.
I feel that. So you're thinking a meal planning subscription?
Yeah, something that just takes all the guesswork out of deciding what to cook each night.
Oh, interesting.
I'm picturing an app.
Okay.
That learns your dietary preferences, your budget, your schedule,
Yeah.
And then it just generates personalized meal plans, complete with grocery lists.
Oh, wow.
Even step-by-step cooking instructions.
Whoa. That's like having a personal chef in your pocket.
Exactly.
That's a pretty awesome idea.
It would save so much time and mental energy.
And probably lead to healthier eating habits, too.
Who knows? Maybe that subscription already exists.
Oh, maybe it does.
And we just haven't discovered it yet.
There you go.
Homework for our listeners.
That's right. Go out and find that dream subscription.
Or maybe even invent it yourself.
The future of subscriptions is limited only by our imaginations.
I love that.
And on that note, I think we'll wrap up this deep dive.
Sounds good.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Always a pleasure.